So nefarious, so nefarious. Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh, he'll make you cry. But most importantly, he's gonna save you.
He'll let him speak for himself, he's got a lot to say. Pass him the mic, get it ready to sway.
But I really don't wanna.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome to the Octavarius Podcast. This is episode 107.
Something rhymes with seven.
Hey, why not? Let's go to the far end of the room and sound off.
Hey, it's me, Cloud.
Hey, it's me, Brian.
Hey, it's me, Scott.
Hey, it's me, Castelvi.
Hi, it's me, LP.
Hi, it's me, Tins.
Hi, it's me, Keith.
Hi, it's me, Nick.
Hi, it's me, Mark.
And it's the B-Bowl.
The B-Bowl is back.
The B-Bowl is
the
back.
B-Bowl.
We, for those who are unfamiliar with the Octavarius podcast history, back in our humble beginnings, we did not have four beautiful mic stands to hold our four beautiful mics. We had to improvise a little bit. Scott is currently taking a picture of our setup right now, which traces back to our humble beginnings. We had a live event the other day that required a couple mic stands, and well, they're still in various locations that are not this living room. So currently, one microphone is lodged in the armpit of or the crook of the arm of a porcelain statue, and the other is resting in the infamous bee bowl. That's a deflated bee prop inside of a medium steel mixing bowl. So that's what we're working with today.
Works like a bee.
That's awesome.
I love how you call these porcelain and steel.
They're probably both wrong.
Yeah, they make them sound way more awesome than they really are. No, it's probably just some sort of bent up sheet metal and I don't know.
Gold.
Yeah, gold.
It might be stainless steel.
Stainless steel. Oh, yeah, it might be stainless steel.
Stainless steel isn't too hard to make.
That's true.
It's a nice bowl. It's a quality bowl.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone who came out to last night's show. The
Mr. B-Woe's Neighborhood.
Show.
Yeah.
That show was to taste.
And if you're listening to this online, thank you for coming to our final show of this run.
Of this run, thank you.
Except for the 1 in 2 weeks.
Yes. And then there's that. Yes.
Yeah, so I think we're all ready to go with this podcast, yeah?
Yeah, we've got everything we need.
We did it. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
I think I said fuck already.
Wait. You said what?
I said fuck.
Oh, fuck. I mean shit.
Oh, shit.
Shit. Did anybody check our emails?
You know what? I did. I opened up the sack of emails.
Oh, did you?
And I actually...
What was in the mail sack?
This. Letter.
Oh.
Piece of mail.
That's a letter. Wait a minute.
This one. The return address is from Oscar Grouch.
Again?
From 123 Sesame Street, Chicago, Illinois. It's addressed to Octavarius LLC at 123 Boner Lane, sunny Chicago, Illinois.
How did it get here?
It was addressed to our address.
Oh, you mean 720?
No.
Nice work. Right,
no, 123 Boner Lane is where, obviously, our large studio is.
Oh, obviously.
Let me just open it up here. See what Oscar wrote.
Oh my god, is that a letter?
Oh,
it's a
gosh.
Letter, that's why it's so weird.
What? No way.
This letter... like I said earlier.
Go on.
See this letter.
Can you show the rest of us the...
Let him read it first.
I'll read it first, then we can pass it around. It's from Oscar. He says, "Dear Octavarius, I hate this time of year because normally when people say Oscar, they mean me. But now, when they say Oscar, they mean the Academy Awards Oscars, where people honor really great films and things, in case you didn't know. And another thing that drives me nuts is, like, there's a bunch of films that I really like, and they never win. So, you know, what's up with that? And then also, you know, if you guys were to do, like, podcast awards, what would you nominate for, like, best moment and shit? Whatever. Have a lot of trash, Oscar.
Oh, great. Thank you, Oscar.
All right.
This is the second time Oscar the Grouch has written to us.
Yeah, you know what? This has to be said before we go any farther. The letter that Mark has pulled out, the contents of this particular letter, as I read it, says, "Got you." And that's it. What I find more interesting, though, is I can see from Mark's position on the couch, he has actually written out a letter from Oscar Grouch, 123 Sesame Street, Chicago, Illinois, to Octavarius LLC, 123 Boner Lane, sunny Chicago, Illinois. You went all out for a joke that our listeners are not going to be able to see at all.
Nope.
And are probably tired of.
Yeah, I noticed that you drew the symbol for O wrong.
I was writing on a very not flat surface.
Laura Shaw in the chat room is like, Oscar is from Brooklyn? I also noticed that Oscar had a Brooklyn accent.
Yeah, he moved to Chicago for the role in the show.
The Sesame Street show.
Was in Chicago.
Yeah, they had a casting call from like all over the place.
It's in sunny Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, I see. Okay. So we're talking about the Oscars,
though. Yeah, it would appear so.
I should look it up, but I noticed that like this year, because this is the third or the second Oscars show, podcast that we've done, because I remember doing a similar.
Didn't
podcast.
We do like a prediction of who we thought was going to win or something?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I want to say that was like that was last Oscars, year.
I
remember I looked up the Oscars and who's nominated, and I haven't seen like any of these movies.
Yeah. I literally have not seen any of them.
I've seen The Artist. It was really well made. It was really good.
I'm not gonna see The Artist.
I saw Moneyball. That was pretty sweet.
I want to see
Moneyball.
It
was good.
I saw Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which Gary Oldman is up for Best Academy Award.
Is that good?
No, it's horrible. I can't believe it.
Best Academy Award. Best Academy Award is the best award.
Gary Oldman was excellent in it, though.
That's why he's gonna win Best Academy Award.
Yeah.
He's gonna do it. But the movie, don't even waste your time. Oh my god!
You know,
a snoozer.
Would you say?
Yes, I was falling asleep. I was literally tired, bored to tears.
And tired to tears.
And tired. I was crying because I was so tired.
Would any of you at some point in your entertainment careers want an Oscar, and why would you want that?
I'd take one, yeah.
Yes, so I can make a speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same here.
Also, I have like a ton of papers on my desk, and I just need something to weigh them down.
Well, if you want to make a speech, what do you want to make it about? Like, what would you say? What do you have to say?
I think, I would thank my actual friends and stuff, and then I'd also want to leave everybody with just confusing nonsense and gibberish.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I would want
to start it normally and then just ruin it. And just ruin it. Just drive the speech into the ground. Just make it look like a...
You are aware a lot of what goes into winning an Oscar, there's campaigning involved.
Right.
The studio has to pay money to like remind people that you were in this movie and that you were good. You go on like a tour of doing interviews. Like Brad Pitt recently has been doing a lot of interviews for Moneyball, just talking about.
Mm.
And then you know he did the Inside the Actor Studio. George Clooney just did one, and then also some other people do different things. Like the guy from The Artist, he did that Funny or Die video where he auditions for the role of a villain.
He had a cameo on SNL the other week.
Yeah, these are all. Considered campaigning for your Oscar, which is something that you kind of are supposed to do.
It's like politics, but for
that sounds like awesome fun.
So, I guess I'd be on SNL.
I need to go do a guest spot. I need to go on talk shows, and I need to do Funny or Die sketches. Like,
kind of a small group of people, though. It's not like everyone vote.
It's not necessarily that small of a group of people. The Academy is a group of people that are not necessarily qualified to choose who wins, because you can just pay, any one of us can just pay to be a member of the Academy.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't really take that much. No. But you just have to decide that's something you want to do.
But one thing I like about Keith's answer is that there's like very few times in your life where like where two things happen, where everyone has to pay attention to you,
mm-hmm.
And where the event is, like, held so sacred that, like, messing it up is, like, way more fun. And yeah. this is why I am much loathed for my opinion of weddings, because that's my favorite of those occasions, because yeah. everyone puts so much care into it. But, like, Oscar's speech might be even better, because it's on national TV.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. International TV. It's watched around the world.
It is really funny and fun to do things wrong when it's really important that you don't.
That reminds me of, like, what was the award Will Ferrell just won, and where you drop the award, like, the Mark Twain Award.
Uh-huh.
And I think he just, like, dropped it, and it shattered, and everyone's like, oh my god, but he totally planned it. It's a joke.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's so funny.
It's really funny.
And it's more memorable, yeah. which is great, too.
Why not? The whole award was for him, so he could do whatever the fuck he
wants. Yeah, it's his.
I feel like
he still has the title.
And that's the thing, is, like, you're never going to win the Mark Twain Award again, but, like, fucking up the Oscars, they'll never give you an Oscar again.
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, all you need is the one.
But you just got to make it memorable in your fuck up, like a fun thing. Like, Nick said, like, I think it was last year, you said you really liked the Jack Palance one where he does the push-ups.
Does the push-ups. Jack Nicholson made fun of his agent. During when he won for Cuckoo's Nest,
wow!
It was agent. He's like, hey, thanks, blah blah blah. And I want to thank my agent who told me it was like something. He told me 10 years ago I have no business being an actor.
Wow!
But he's Jack Nicholson, so I guess he can get away with that. Yeah, there's always fun. You can do the Cuba Gooding Jr. thing where you just run around a lot, which is You did the Roberto Benigni thing where you also just jump on chairs and scream, you know.
And when you say, like, it's the Cuba Gooding Jr. thing, does that mean, like, other people have done it since and it's been referred to as, like, pulling a Cuba?
Well, people lampooned it in television sketch shows and things like that, and then even on news shows the next day.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, Roberto Benigni was made fun of, you know...
I don't know what has he done? What is he famous for? I've seen him in things, but I only know
beautiful.
Him as Roberto Benigni.
He walked on the chairs, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was like the thing. They'd have Roberto Benigni overreact to things.
Yeah, he's just a strange man, right?
Who's the actor in Life is Beautiful?
Oh, I don't
maybe
know.
That's Roberto
Benigni.
Yeah, that's it. Shine was Jeffrey Rush.
I'm
Roberto
looking up
Benigni's
the top 10 most embarrassing Oscar winning speeches. And Jack Palance, you said he was doing a one arm. That's
he did one arm push up.
It wasn't embarrassing. It was just awesome.
Why did he do one?
I think
that
was something like
because he was old.
Yeah. People said he couldn't like do it, and he was like he was already like I think like late 50s or something. And he was like, watch me do this or something like.
He was older than his 50s.
He won the Best Academy Award.
Academy Award,
I think.
City
Slickers.
City Slickers.
Wait,
really? City Slickers. Best Supporting Actor. Curly.
Number 9 is Angelina Jolie for talking about her brother for Best Supporting Actress in Girl Interrupted. She talked about how she was in love with her brother or some shit. Or was taken out of context.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Tom Hanks, what does he do? He's number 8 for Philadelphia.
Oh, that's right.
One of the finest gay Americans is what I think he's.
It's where the movie In and Out came from.
Roberto Benigni, number 7. Julia Roberts, Erin Brockovich is number 6. What the fuck? I didn't see that. James Cameron.
I'm the king of the world when he said that.
That's how he said.
Wow.
There's Cuba Gooding Jr. number 4. Man, he's freaking out. Sally Fields in Places of the Heart. Many had said that Sally Field's Gusharama, whilst collecting her a Best Actress award, set the bar for over-the-top self-appreciation speeches.
That's the you like me or you love me.
Oh, is that the one?
Yeah. Really?
Jesus
mm-hmm.
Christ, get over yourself. Halle Berry, of course, number 2. And Gwyneth Paltrow, number 1.
What'd she do?
She's just crying.
Yeah, they just sobbed uncontrollably to the point where it was like, dude, it's not that big of a deal. You can...
Is it just me, or does it seem like after an actor wins an Academy Award, they do a shitty movie?
I think they have to.
Almost immediately after.
Well, yeah, don't you want that big fatty paycheck?
Dude, I want that big fatty paycheck.
I'm doing...
Snow Dogs?
Yeah. Give me that money.
Whatever's going to pay me that ridiculous amount of money, I'll do it.
Don't you want that house?
Yeah, I want 3.
I need to... Do I need to fart on a pizza in this scene? All right. I'm going to go home to my bed of ice cream that I eat and also get pneumonia from. I thought of something that would be really fun to do at the Oscars is to, at the end of your acceptance speech, just go into the Bilbo Baggins speech.
Half of Ashadlock.
But then say, I'm going now. Put on a ring and just act like you disappeared and just walk to any part of the stage you want. And just stay there, acting like you disappeared.
You have to do a sneak away walk.
And I like more than half of you, half as well as you deserve.
I'm going now.
Especially if it snuck up on them until that line.
It's a very ballsy thing to do at like the height of your career. At the exact
peak. That's why you have to do it.
Fuck it up. Far stage right and stand there.
Oh, man. Dude, if it's like your first Oscar, it's either a blessing or a curse because you might never be asked to do anything related to the Oscars ever again. And you might be awesome for it.
Yeah. I think people would respond very well to that.
I'm very confident. Because the Oscars is so long and boring. Like, we were talking about this earlier. And it's just like, I watch it, and I don't care about any of the banter or any of the fuck. Because it's like, it's all the same. It's like two people walk on, say some bullshit about film editing, and then they present the award. And then
the past couple of years have been shitty, like extra shitty, though.
Yeah,
Anne Hathaway was like weird. She seemed kind
of... last one was famously bad because of James Franco and Anne Hathaway. James Franco like openly said he didn't want to do it or something or other. He didn't like it.
He just didn't give a fuck.
He totally didn't give a fuck.
He was like stoned the whole time, right?
He was cutting off his arm the whole time, which is what was really the most disturbing.
I feel like... it's just people that haven't cared about it as much. I'm interested to see, you know, what Billy Crystal does this year. I always love it when Billy Crystal hosts. We've talked about it in previous podcasts.
I think Billy Crystal is fine and he's cute when he hosts. I never necessarily think like he's amazing.
I never necessarily think he's a cute guy either.
What are you talking about? He's cute.
He's cute. Like. The moms love him, you know?
Like dog cute.
There's way more charming people.
Like the uglier they are.
But he hasn't done anything in years, right?
Yeah. He's hosted a lot of Oscars.
He has hosted a lot of Oscars.
Do you guys ever... one thing that annoys me, but I'm starting to think about it a little bit more and change my stance on it, is that comedic actors never really get nominated.
No.
When they do, they certainly don't win.
Really sad.
That's why I was surprised you said Curly won.
Yeah, it's that's the thing is but Melissa Jack Palance is not really a comedic actor.
Mm-hmm.
He just happened to be in a comedy.
Yeah,
who as a dramatic actor, like I was really pulling for Bill Murray to win for Lost in Translation just to have a funny role win.
Yeah,
and as somebody,
that wasn't necessarily a very funny film.
But he was funny.
He was, yes.
He definitely lent some comedy to his performance.
Who ended up winning that year? Was that the same year as like Jack Sparrow too?
No, it wasn't the same year. Or yes, it was the same year as Jack Sparrow.
Who also did not win.
Who did not win. Yeah, I was excited that year because there were two comedic roles.
Well, Bridesmaids is up for one. The Chicken Bridesmaids is up for
Best Supporting
Actress.
Uh-huh.
That's close, right? I didn't see it, so I can't tell.
She deserves to win.
Oh, she does.
Seeing none of the other movies, but she's very, very good.
Molly and Mike and Molly too, right?
Yes. Which won her the Emmy this year.
Yeah, she's she's a fabulous performer and it's just But then also here's the thing. The thing about being a clown is that, you shouldn't, like, if you win too much, it's not really funny anymore. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it better that they don't win?
I think they should be recognized, and comedy is oftentimes much more difficult than drama.
What are you talking about? It's easy as shit.
Man, just fucking poop.
Drama is way harder for me.
Made a fart noise.
For us, because we're all silly, but I think
it's subjective.
It should be recognized.
I think comedy's more what I think is funny is completely different than what the mainstream thinks is funny. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to gauge. I mean, I think it. Well, I agree. I think it.
But you
it
like Jack be. Sparrow. Everybody liked Jack Sparrow.
That character in the great. In the film Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, the original film Pirates of the Caribbean. Jack Sparrow. I thought it was that good. Yeah. Johnny Depp was nominated for an Oscar for playing Jack Sparrow.
Yeah. I feel like any art is going to be that way, even if it's a drama. I mean, people can argue like, "Oh, this was so touching and amazing." People are like, "No, it was shitty." Like. Yeah. Any form of art is hard to judge.
That's how, yeah, well, that's and such as the crutch of, or the crutch.
I think especially with comedy because, you know, that even is, laughter is just a weird, unexplained thing. Like, how you laugh and why you laugh and what makes you laugh, even as babies. It's a response that is, triggered, and so many people find so many different things, and your preference of comedy changes as well. So it's such a... It is so much more subjective than I think even drama is, because most of the time, if something's dramatic, it's fairly clear. And even if it's subjective, it's more about whether the performance or the writing is like just wasn't someone's style, but they can still recognize it. Mm-hmm. I guess there still is there are people who say, like, I recognize that it's funny, but it's not for me. Mm-hmm. I guess people just, you know, people who get awards, people who do dramatic things. Because they're all so dramatic.
I very much I remember the last time a film that had some serious comedic performances in it, like some good work, was American Beauty, that a lot of things won. Yeah, I thought Kevin Spacey was hilarious in that movie, and then he was also tragic. We cried for him too, but I mean, God. What was his name? Lester Burnham?
That character.
Lester Burnham, like, what a great character. What, when he gets that car that he always wanted, and then he just goes, yes, and pumps his fist. Like, that's hilarious. Everybody knows that feeling and can identify with that.
But you wouldn't call that movie a comedy, though.
No.
I'd say it ended in tragedy, but it... Mm-hmm. Why can't a tragedy make you laugh throughout it?
No, I'm not saying
you laugh so much during it.
No, I'm not. Yeah, absolutely.
You wouldn't
classify it. And like, I mean, as a tragedy can have comedic parts, but and a comedy can have tragic parts. Mm-hmm. But that one is strong. I would say, we'll argue one is stronger than the other in the end.
Sure.
It was weird. The marketing on that movie was odd because they kept like everyone knew that. The marketing team knew that everyone would think that American Beauty is a drama. So they played up the comedy elements in the marketing of that film. And, it would always... Like, I remember one of the things that would pop up in the little commercials, it would be like, why can't a drama make you laugh? And,
They played that scene with him giving the McDonald's to the wife.
With the dude she's cheating on him.
Which is a very funny scene. Yeah.
But it's also very tragic.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Can you think of any comedic comedies with an actor in it that you were like, oh, that guy should have been nominated?
You know, I'd say Jim Carrey in...
Ace Ventura. That's hard. I watched Ace Ventura. We've been watching.
I think Dumb and Dumber really.
And Dumb and Dumber.
That's probably his finest work.
Did he get nominated for Eternal Sunshine?
He was. Yes, he was nominated. Yeah,
I feel like he should. I don't know.
No, computer. No,
the Golden Globes honors comedians.
Yeah,
that does, but not the Oscars.
Jim Carrey's physical work is amazing. I'm really surprised he hasn't been nominated for more.
Jim Carrey did not get nominated for... Eternal Sunshine got nominated and I believe won for Best Original Screenplay.
Yeah, as it should. Yeah.
As it should.
Screenplay,
Jim Carrey, I'd
looks
say,
nuts.
I'd say Dumb and Dumber should have been nominated... Because of it wasn't just his physical;
He's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just everything he did.
The whole movie is crazy.
It's crazy.
We were watching Ace Ventura, and I'm like, this is a goddamn live action cartoon. That's what this is.
Yes,
He's a cartoon character,
and the rest of the world is largely okay with his antics.
Yes,
they're like
a liar, liar as well.
Liar.
He did great physical work in Liar Liar.
That's my favorite thing that he's done.
But like that's the thing I love about Jim Carrey is that his characters are all very have heart and they go to those sort of dramatic places. Then he's just so nuts physically.
Oh yeah,
he's amazing.
I mean, even in Truman Show, He's really Truman good
Show,
at Truman.
Cable guy is pretty Truman weird.
Ooh,
he's ridiculous.
He's a creepy Cable guy.
Oh yeah, he's
yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to think.
Did Ghostbusters get nominated for things?
Only for like technical things, really.
Yeah, I'd give Bill Murray an Oscar in a second, dude.
Right?
Totally.
There's so many great comedies.
That's way with murder.
Yeah. He just does so much.
I think the thing comedians usually win is like more frequent work.
Yeah. We're just like, lucky to be in the business, clown.
Well, no, just like you can make comedies for like a little bit cheaper. They don't need quite as big name actors. Like, if you're a pretty good like comic actor, you'll get work a lot.
Yeah, doing like
and like decently paying work.
I feel like the highest achievement you can attain as a comedian is you're a friend to the world. Like, everybody's just happy you showed up.
Yeah.
Like, I think Bill Murray and Jerry Seinfeld, wherever those two walk, like, everyone's like, oh, wow, fucking Jerry Seinfeld, thanks for coming. Like, nobody ever, if Jerry Seinfeld walks in somewhere, you know, he's always noticed and he's always positively recognized.
Because he made Seinfeld here.
Yo, Seinfeld, go home. Seinfeld, go home.
You're not welcome here, Seinfeld.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Like, Bill Murray, wherever
he goes. Just go to the laundromat.
Bill Murray, there's so many tales of Bill Murray just showing up places and just doing whatever he wants and everyone just being happy about it.
Yeah, I heard a story about he like went to some bar and just only served a shot of tequila, no matter what you asked for. And he was like, and the bartenders were just like, yeah, whatever.
Or then there's a story about how he's at a college party.
Yeah.
He party hops. He crashes parties, man. I've seen pictures.
My favorite one, he walks into a sandwich shop and eats the rest of some guy's sandwich as the guy was getting a refill on his drink.
Oh my God.
He just screamed, no one will ever believe this. And ran out the door.
What?
And just to be able to do that, I hope to God that is a true story.
John,
I have to believe it's true.
John Belushi did a similar thing on the set of Blues Brothers. He was high, though. He was, you know, high out of his mind. He wandered off the set into some family's home and just started raiding their fridge one night.
Oh, my God.
And then the family came down. And
breaking
he was like,
and entering.
Yeah, he did. He was breaking and entering and then stealing their sandwich.
And
that,
oh wow.
And so he was just eating sandwiches. He's like the Yogi Bear of humans. And he just is eating the sandwich, and I forget if it was the father or the mother, whoever, you know, one of the heads of the household.
They had a gun
came
either
down
way.
And saw him, and he just said, hi, you know who I am, right? And they said, yeah. And he said, is this okay? And they just let him stay there.
Whoa.
And he just kind of fell asleep on their couch high.
That's messed up.
And the crew had to go get him. But, like, people just let him into the home.
Okay.
They let him into their home because
is,
he was that
found
clown
a,
that they
a
like.
Picture an article of Bill Murray crashing a karaoke party. And there he is. Wow. Just explaining that they were trying to have a karaoke party. And then Bill Murray came in and started singing songs. There's pictures of him right here. That's fine. I'll put that on the chat room.
At what point does that get like creepy? Like let's say Bill Murray came over right now and then didn't leave for like 2 weeks.
He's too powerful.
I mean, would you guys allow that?
I guess he practically almost
knows.
I bet you could sell that information
for money.
With him. You can make a profit off of him, like. I guess he's what, like, just leeching off of you? Or what?
Yeah.
Sorry, I will set up cameras and broadcast it to the internet.
Oh my God, millions of dollars. Just parked in your little... What was he doing?
He's squatting, he's just hanging out.
Squatting.
He's watching Ghostbusters.
God, that would be so fun to watch Ghostbusters with Bill Murray.
Well, he's not dangerous, I don't think, Bill Murray. He's old enough where it's like, oh.
I think he's old enough where he's getting dangerous.
Less to lose.
Yeah, man. Murray's got nothing to lose.
What is he working on now?
Whatever he wants.
He's in the new whatchamacallit movie. The fucking not like the Life Aquatic guy. What new
Wes
Anderson?
Anderson. Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
With Edward Norton's in it. It looks awesome.
Yeah, I guess that's like in my opinion, that's like the highest you can achieve, I guess, as a comic. You don't get an award, but like everyone's just happy you showed up. wherever it is you go.
Is he playing FDR?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he is.
Like Bill Murray?
Yeah, he's going to be awesome.
Wow. That's the Oscar movie.
That's his Oscar.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, I think that's what happens, is like comic actors do a dramatic movie and they bring like wonderful humor to it and then occasionally win. Like Robin Williams did that for, is it Dead Poets Society?
Good Will Hunting.
He was nominated for Dead Poets too.
He had that.
And Patch Adams.
Good Morning Vietnam.
That's yeah, one so of his best monologues was about his wife farting at night.
Yeah, it's such a good
moment.
Yeah.
And he was Mrs. Doubtfire. What a ridiculous character.
Hello. Oh my god, I love that movie growing up.
That movie is awesome.
Like, if you don't love that movie, there's probably something wrong with you.
I'll watch Mrs. Doubtfire anytime it's on.
What if you're just a big Pierce Brosnan fan?
I was watching Jumanji last night.
How about Jumanji?
I've been doing this thing where I watch comedies like that I used to love.
Just watch them. I love doing that.
I did that with The Pest. It was terrible.
Oh, yeah. You told me about that. But I was like watching, I was like, I was feeling real bad for Robin Williams' character. His parents died, like he got trapped
in a jungle for 26 years.
That was so ridiculous.
But at the end,
what a ridiculous
spoiler
premise.
Alert! Everything goes back to normal.
Oh,
right?
Dude, you can't say that.
Movie came out in like 94, and it's not that great.
Spoiler: Robin Williams is an amazing dramatic actor. You know, he's a Juilliard trained actor. He was there. He was classmate of Christopher Reeve.
Well, let's not bring up Hook again. Let's talk about that all the time.
So good.
Dude, look in his eyes in Hook. You can see the pain.
I was lucky enough to see Robin Williams when he came to ISU for a stand-up tour. And, like, he really is as crazy as people say.
When did this happen?
This is, like, my senior year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He hurt himself, isn't that right? I thought he hurt himself, so he wasn't allowed, to, or not allowed, but he wasn't as active as he used to be.
You're saying
he was?
He was, like, flying around, and he was just going, like, a million words per minute, doing, like, impressions, and just going crazy for, like, hours straight. And I was just blown away by the amount of energy he threw out.
Did you see the Q's line with him?
No.
It's crazy.
He's a terrible improviser.
He doesn't know what he's doing. He's just always going. He's always going. He can't stop to see what anybody else is doing.
Ryan Stiles couldn't keep up.
Yeah. Oh, man. Really was a minute. But it was fascinating. Like, it was really funny.
Oh, God. Did you guys see 1 Hour Photo?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so That's scary. Fucked up.
I think he's fucked up in insomnia.
Yeah, with Al Pacino. Yeah.
Oh, which I also saw.
In theaters?
Yeah. Like, I was like, because, you know, Robin Williams was on a tear then, except for that robot movie that he was...
Bicentennial Man?
That was his post Good Will Hunting,
He played a robot.
Really?
He plays a robot.
Yeah. Oh,
turned man.
I really liked him in...
It's a Pinocchio story.
Yes, and that really is.
Of robotism.
I loved Robin Williams in that movie, Jack.
Oh man, Jack!
Dude, Jack was directed by what's his name? Director of The Godfather.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah,
really?
He directed
what?
Jack.
No,
really? No, he didn't.
Wait! Noted winemaker and film director Francis Ford
Dude,
Coppola.
Look it up.
Done.
Wow.
J Lo's in that movie though.
Yeah, dude.
That's right.
As Robin Williams, the
Bill
child's
Cosby's
love
in
interest.
That movie too.
Bill Cosby is in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
he's like a Jack's homeschool teacher or whatever.
Yeah.
Bitch sucks.
Oh my god, Francis Ford Coppola.
Are you binging it?
Jack.
I have to bing it. I made a vow.
Well, LP just found it.
Yeah. It's Francis Ford Coppola, right?
Yeah, totally.
Wow. Oh man.
Weird.
How about that?
My mind is blown.
I believe it.
How about
still
that?
Still living on fat Jack.
Isn't Jack,
he's also
though,
the flubber.
But isn't Jack the stunted child movie of the Oscars as the Godfather is to the crime family Oscars.
I guess, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's
without,
very,
without,
very,
dude,
very specific.
Without Jack, there would
it's
be
just
no...
another
there would be no Magnificent Benjamin Button, or whatever.
You mean the one based on the...
That's very specific, but there's also Big. That's another one.
And also, I believe Benjamin Button is based on, like, a... short story from the 30s.
Oh, Jack?
Yeah, that's the one.
The famous one. Oh, man, I should watch Jack.
Francis Ford Coppola's Jack.
Yes, McCool?
Tom Hanks was, I think, nominated for Academy Award for Big, and at that point in time, he was only doing comedy.
Yeah, was. That's true.
Before Philadelphia, and he started getting into...
He's great in Big.
Yeah, I'll say that. Yeah. That's why
he's great in Joe vs. Volcano. Yeah.
He was just a comedic actor.
And Money Pit.
Oh, I love Money Pit.
Tango and Cash.
I mean, Turner and Hooch.
Yeah.
I, you know, you watch... there's not a Tom Hanks movie that I don't like Tom Hanks in.
Mm-hmm.
There are bad Tom Hanks movies, but they're not his fault.
You know, there are not a lot of other movies.
There's got to be a real bad one. Like a stinker. Come on.
I want to see the Larry Crown one that he put a lot of...
Yeah.
Did a lot of, like, writing and producing work.
Yeah, I heard it was not good, but I bet you Tom Hanks was wonderful. Hanks was
really great, I don't know. I'm going to find something.
He's a very likable American.
Is Tom Hanks in The Terminal?
Yes.
He
was
the
star of it.
He is the Terminal.
I couldn't remember if that was The Terminal.
He makes that movie so much more livable.
Krakoja.
You love, McCool loves
it. I love The Terminal.
Steven Spielberg's The Terminal.
Yeah.
I saw that in theaters.
I'd watch The Terminal again. I haven't seen that forever.
I have it.
Why aren't we terminaling all the time? We should be putting them on both TVs.
You want to get wasted in Terminal?
We should put them on both TVs. Synced up. Yeah, absolutely synced up.
All right.
Krakoja.
I'd do it, whatever.
It's great. Some of them can sit over here and watch. We can have a conversation like this. It'd be crazy.
Krakoja. Let's try it again. Krakoja. It's like if you're watching it on two TVs.
Oh, I can't wait to do this.
We also need food.
Yes, we can totally get food, I guess.
No, I mean, like, the way he eats food in the movie, though, with, like, he just takes,
crackers
like,
and
crackers and, like, mustard.
And oh, just... gross.
He's the Forrest Gump. That's a funny character.
Oh, my God, Forrest Gump's so good.
Yeah.
He won. Did he win? He won for that, right?
He won.
Like, two
that
years
was
in a row.
That was a hotly debated year, too, because Forrest Gump, what was also out that year? Was that...
The Internet Will Tell Me.
Or not Saving Private Ryan. That was... Or maybe Saving Private Ryan is the contender. Because Saving Private Ryan year was Shawshank Redemption.
The same year as Forrest Gump, Tom Hanks won the award, but Morgan Freeman was also nominated for Shawshank.
Yeah. Okay, so
and,
Forrest Gump and Shawshank.
And John Travolta was nominated for Pulp Fiction.
Jeez.
Oh, wow.
That's nuts.
What about, did anyone see The Lady Killers?
No, that was supposed to not be very good. I think
that's
Tom Hanks.
That's
anger.
And that's later in his career. That's 2004.
But that's the Coen brothers.
You're gonna blame the Coen brothers?
Well,
I can't, God damn it.
Yeah, but
I didn't see it, so I can't say.
Yeah, it's the Coen. Well, it's a remake. Lady Killers is a remake, and Tom Hanks was playing a role that was originally done by, I think, Jimmy Stewart. So that's why he did that.
Da Vinci Code sucked. I hated that movie.
Yeah, that was a very popular movie, though. It wasn't very good.
Gotta buy that house.
True.
Gotta get that house.
You gotta, his kid went to Northwestern, didn't he? Or something like that?
Yeah, his son attended Northwestern.
I hear his son, he's got a son who's a rapper.
That's the one at Northwestern.
Yeah, that shit's
expensive. Not Colin
White and Purple, White and Purple. That's his song about...
There's also Colin Hanks, who's an actor.
That is Colin Hanks, I believe.
It is the same?
I think he's the rapping one now.
No. Colin Hanks has started to direct his own films. He actually raised money for a movie that he's making now only on Kickstarter.
Oh, that's right, I heard about that.
And it was like I forget how much he raised. It was like a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah, I mean, you can raise a lot if you have a following already.
Yeah, it was just crazy.
Meryl Streep's nominated again.
Am I right?
Most
nominated. Well, that's because she's better than everybody else.
Oh, yeah. I know. I love Streep.
Meryl Streep is funny. Meryl Streep is mean.
Sexy. She's like a sexy old lady.
She'd
be a great improviser.
I'd love her.
Oh, yeah.
We'd
take her.
I already invited her. And Kevin Huvane, I am saying it again.
You're going to name him on the podcast?
Yes, I'm going to name Kevin Huvane.
Dude, call him out, man. Fuck that guy.
Kevin Huvane.
No.
Fuck you, man.
No, I don't. Kevin Huvane.
Okay.
Don't fuck you. Kevin Huvane.
Nobody fuck Kevin Huvane.
No, please.
He's
going to
respect that about you.
Only,
you tell him
I hope
fuck
Mrs. Huvane
gonna gives respect that.
Mr. Huvane all the love that he needs. But Kevin Huvane, I put it out there before. Meryl. Gosh, I know, you know, people are not appreciating you enough. I must say, we would appreciate you. You would be an equal member of Octavarius. You'd get to, you know, learn improv from some wonderful people. You'd be allowed in some of the podcasts. You know?
Some of them.
You could crash here with Bill Murray.
I mean, it's out there, man.
You, like, hang out with, like, our buddies. You can hang out with Ricky and Clausio. They're fun.
Teacher, he's down the pipes.
Kevin, if
teacher
you...
Teacher songs.
If you want to manage Octavarius, I mean, we'd really consider it. We'd really consider it.
We would.
Or if you just want to crash.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if you want to crash, you can crash.
Yeah, if you're, like, in Chicago doing a gig, if you're, like, doing a stand-up gig that night or whatever, if you want to come crash...
Yeah, if you're just negotiating some multi-million-dollar actor contracts or whatever, and you just
who would you ideal celebrity to crash at your place for a couple of weeks that isn't Bill Murray?
A couple of weeks,
like 2 weeks,
Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson. Today.
He would have
he's
no
like an old
regard
man,
for your
though.
Possessions.
I don't care.
I don't think he's gonna have a good time.
He would fuck every girl you tried to bring home,
but those girls would have friends.
I think he'd be a drag.
Who he would also fuck.
No, well played.
I think he might be.
No, I take my cut. No, I want Denzel. I want to hang out with Denzel.
Yeah, he crashed for him. He probably has something cool to say.
Yeah.
Not Daniel Craig?
No, Daniel Craig, too.
Okay.
They can all sleep over.
It'd be so much fun.
Okay.
I would probably want Meryl Streep. I think she's an amazing...
That isn't Meryl Streep. It was the first thing I said. Or Bill Murray.
So we're talking like... Just to be clear, we talking like Oscar-grade actors only
like,
here?
Well,
whoever
no,
you want.
Whoever you want.
You know, I would
the bigger the better.
I would have Tom Hanks crash on my couch.
Yeah,
I think that would be
Tom
nice.
Tom Hanks would be a pretty chill dude.
I think we could hang out during the day.
He's just crashing there, just on the couch, just like... I assume he's like not, doesn't have anything to his name.
Dude, he was in Bachelor Party. He knows how to party.
Yeah, so like as long as he doesn't fucking touch the DVR or anything.
He had to learn how to party for the film, I assume, is what you're implying.
I mean, having a celebrity crash at your house is awesome, but I'd settle for, you know, just some pizza. You know, I would settle for just one dinner of pizza.
Somebody
as crazy as like Tim Meadows or something.
Oh man, that's built up so bad. It's gonna be so awkward when that happens.
Yeah,
amazing.
It's gonna be great.
That'd be great.
It's gonna be beautifully uncomfortable.
Yeah,
we should get it on tape.
We should trick him.
It's not about It's not tricking. He has to accept the invitation. He has to choose. It's time. It's time to go have pizza with Keith Haversberger. He knows my name. You know my name.
Fall 9 times. Get up the 10th. Tried getting pizza to Tim Meadows 9 times. He'll accept.
What?
I don't get it.
Yeah, wait.
You know,
are you golf tipping me?
What?
Just be persistent is what I was getting at.
No. It's about being, like, slowly persistent. It's only talking every 2 to 3 months. That's just a guy who's checking in because he cares. And eventually we're going to have that pizza.
It's going to be great.
It'll be great.
Maybe it won't be till like, you're in your 40s.
That'd be pretty great.
You know, he'd be like,
you know,
be an old man.
It would be a great way to have pizza with Tim Meadows as part of your Oscar acceptance speech. Just pull out 2 slices of pizza.
Or if you just thank Tim Meadows?
Hey,
thank Tim Meadows before you thank your wife.
First of all, gotta say thanks to Tim Meadows.
If you ever want to have pizza with me.
Pizza was great.
I assume he won't have let you have pizza with him yet.
No justification is really funny for the media. Just say like, first of all, gotta say thank you to Tim Meadows. Second, of course, my lovely wife, the Lord, my beautiful children, all my friends from Octavarius, everybody who's helped me along the way. I like half of you as much as you deserve.
Proud feet.
Proud feet. Oh man. Trying to find someone that I in the, my Facebook, someone I would like to hang out with. But he's like, at this time, they're like old people, kind of just living at your house. Like, they
Ricky,
have old
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, dude, I can get down there. He'll probably.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah, he's got something to say.
He'd be real funny to have.
It's 2 weeks.
But like, you gotta...
2 weeks.
See, that's the caveat, is the 2 weeks.
Yeah, you gotta make sure you don't want to do anything serious around.
He's just on your couch, too, man.
Yeah.
Like, you have... Like, you go to the hangout or at the TV, there's Ricky Gervais. So you have to watch watching what he wants.
It's not like he's working during the day. He's he's at your place for
but
two
I
weeks.
Imagine that these house guests aren't like helping out in any way with
everything. No, like, they're incredible.
He's like in his underwear with like beard growing.
Yeah,
wearing your robe.
He pisses on the couch.
If I didn't have to be anywhere like early in the morning, I'd hang out with Katy Perry
though.
For
That's
2 weeks.
The thing. It's 2 weeks.
Sure,
okay. Katy Perry would be nuts.
I feel like
Nathan Siegel would be like really fun. I want to go kite flying. Oh, okay, no.
Who is that?
Jason Siegel from like
I thought you said
I heard a seagull.
I definitely heard
a seagull.
Yeah, not the flock of seagulls. The band.
Jason Siegel, he's all right.
He's probably cool.
He's probably all right.
Like people who would be fun, want to go on adventures.
But they got to stay on the couch.
Yeah.
Like James Franco.
Oh yeah, James Franco's probably
totally
fun.
James Franco.
I feel like he would be sleeping on your couch.
I'd have Snoop Dogg for sure.
Oh God, Snoop Dogg. Fun time.
Yeah, if I could choose non-actor, it would easily be Snoop.
He's an actor.
Oh, dude,
like
Kanye,
if Snoop,
it'd be hilarious.
Like if
Snoop is not a fucking actor.
He's in film and acted.
That
he's in Training Day. Checkmate.
Okay. All right.
He's awesome in Training Day.
I'll give you that. All right. Well, yeah.
Nobody wants
that. Yes.
We're not just. It's not just Soul Plane, the movie.
He was also
in Starsky and Hutch.
What was that vampire movie he was in?
Vampires.
Not Vampire in Brooklyn.
Vampire in Brooklyn.
No, that's
no, that
was
Eddie
Murphy.
It was like a serious one. Like
Starsky and Hutch. Owen Wilson. Owen Wilson would be so fun on the
Owen
couch.
Wilson?
You know, it'd be a lot of fun. Russell Crowe.
No.
Russell Crowe? I'm not letting Russell Crowe into my house.
That
at
guy
all.
Is not coming in.
I like all of my possessions,
dude. But if you can drag
he's
him out to
like
a
I
bar,
I bet he's just an angry drunk.
That's
though,
what
too.
I want to bring him to a bar.
He's in your house though. He's just fucking.
Well, then
shit.
I will lay a trail of beer bottles to the nearest bar.
This is a bad idea. A trail of beer bottles. That's gonna cost $2,000.
He's gonna get so drunk on following that trail.
That it's fine, because then I also start putting like vitamin waters. He's gonna
move so slowly because he's only gonna move at the pace of when he needs a new beer.
And after enough beers, he's gonna think, why am I following this trail of beer bottles to a bar? I'm just gonna drink all these trail beers.
But then he's gonna say, I'm hungry. Good thing there's a piece of pizza on the street. And then he'll move forward 5 more feet.
You think Russell Crowe's not above eating floor pizza?
Street pizza. Pizza on the street.
Trust me.
Street pizza.
There's a piece of pizza on the street.
When is that drug?
You live on Ashland.
It's a clean street.
No, it's not.
It's a very clean street.
It's a highly traveled street.
Keith was around when a man was shot on that street.
Yeah, dude.
There's dead
blood pizza.
Yeah.
Blood on your pizza.
I'll take
blood pizza.
I think about it. No. Snoop Dogg's been in a bunch. That's what I'm looking at. He said Racing Stripes.
Yeah.
Everyone was fucking in Racing Stripes.
The movie I was thinking of was Bones. He comes back from the dead, I think.
Bones?
Oh, shit. I'm looking at that. I recognize that poster.
Ah,
wow. I definitely don't know, never seen that movie, but I recognize that poster.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Fuck that guy.
What about like Hugh Grant or some like charming
Will Smith?
Dude. Will Smith can totally crash.
What's wrong with us? Will Smith.
I thought about Will Smith. Scientologist. Yeah, but I don't know if he'd be that cool, actually.
I feel like
dude, he's Big Willie.
But I feel like he'd be on the phone a lot with his family.
Help.
I'm sorry. If he shows up and has to jet around in his helicopter, I'm going to get in that helicopter with him.
I mean, I feel like I wouldn't say no to hanging out with him. I just feel like he wouldn't be the most fun. I think we may glorify Will Smith.
I just feel like he wouldn't want to hang out as much as we want
you
to
bite
hang out.
He has to. He's crashing on your couch.
You bite your tongue.
I'm envisioning all these celebrities like they just divorced their wives or something, and they have to crash. They just have to crash.
I got nowhere to go, man.
I got nowhere else to go.
Well,
I guess
and they're like in their sweatpants, like in a gray sweatpants.
I heard Keith give out your address on the podcast.
Ricky Williams, the athlete. Like left everything one time and like went to a small town, just got an apartment, and then just met a dude at a bar and was like, hey, can I come hang out with you? And he just, like, showed up at this dude's place and would just hang out and smoke pot and, you know, play cards.
Ricky Williams?
Who's
that?
Ricky Williams, the running back?
He was a really good running back for a while.
Yeah, he won a Heisman Trophy.
He plays for the Dolphins now, I think.
I think he just retired.
Did he again?
Yeah. Ricky just started hanging out with people, and he was around for like 6 to 8 months before he left again. So, like, yeah, for 6 to 8 months, huh, these dudes just hung out with Ricky Williams.
That's crazy.
And they interviewed them for a documentary too on Ricky Williams, and the dudes were just like, yeah, we just hung out, played video games, smoked a lot of pot.
Didn't he do a bunch of yoga with them too?
With those guys?
Or maybe, I don't know.
Not with those guys.
Ate
those
a bunch
guys
of yogurt, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. With those guys, he just Rick played Williams video games. All my yogurt. It was, he just, like, was a rando, you know, dude that didn't do anything. He just smoked pot, played video games, you know, ate chips and hung out with these guys. And that was it. He had no job. He just showed up and did that.
That's pretty cool.
You know, the guy said he was very pleasant.
I believe it.
All the guys said, like, yeah, it was great hanging out with Ricky. He's just so sweet. We just had great times playing video games, smoking, playing cards, eating chips.
He had so much Go-Gurt. It was nuts. You guys ever had Go-Gurt?
Yeah.
Back in the day.
It's weird.
Like,
it doesn't taste like yogurt.
It's a little, like, thinner than yogurt normally,
isn't it? I feel
like
it's not meant to be in that tube.
Yogurt should be free
in its natural environment.
Yeah, man.
Need that spoon.
The small cup.
That you can still use a spoon. Squeeze it out into a spoon.
Yeah.
What? It's the
squeeze
same.
Squeeze it onto a spoon.
No, it's not the same.
It's
when
the fucking same.
Like the Discovery Show, our world is too hurried. People can't even get the spoons out for the yogurt.
They're growing burgers now. You see that on the internet?
Yeah.
They're growing what?
Someone's going to eat the first grown meat burger this week.
Why is that necessary?
How
is that possible?
Because we can't support the amount of livestock on land it takes to feed the amount of people we have.
Then we need to give
kill some
people,
of these people
and eat less burgers.
Yes, genocide.
It's 600 million.
It's synthetic.
That's
meat.
My number.
They're not killing any
animals. It's not genocide. Like it's like made out of magic and chemicals. It's made out of growing stem cells into meat tissue.
So it's like
it tastes the same.
Natural.
What I know,
yeah, it's just
let's
meat.
Just make them out of people.
And it's supposed to have like zero fat on it, from what I read.
Yeah,
probably because you're just growing meat
exactly.
cells, none of the fat of the animal.
Exactly. Yeah,
I wonder
that's
what
so
it tastes
crazy.
Like. I would try
shit.
Chicken skin. If they, I mean, if they can do that, they can probably genetically modify it to make sure it tastes awesome.
Yeah.
That's not real food, I feel.
It is.
It is, though.
It actually is. That was the whole thing.
Really?
Instead of making it synthetically, they're growing real meat. It is made of the stem cells, and stem cells are just what they just are what you tell them to be.
Yeah.
It's meat. It's real.
It's totally meat.
It's just
it's
made.
It's not natural.
Yeah, it's we're playing God. Where? It's about time.
We really need to start playing God more.
A game's been
like,
in the
corner. We haven't cloned
forever.
A single
we
thing since
it.
That fucking sheep, man.
No, man, they made people parts. We were watching that show.
Yeah, they
made,
make
like,
they made
lungs
and hearts and stuff.
Yeah.
Like some people.
Yeah.
So why not make some steaks?
I think they're afraid of making people.
They're not allowed to. There is a law that Bill Clinton signed that you can't clone people.
Boo!
It was after Multiplicity came out. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
You know what though? I feel like
I would.
How long do you guys predict it's going to be until we're like in some sort of conflict with another country, and someone discovers that they're just cloning soldiers? Because that's how it's gonna. That's what's gonna break that law.
But you have to grow them at like
why
baby.
Would we need
a human pages. You can't just. You know,
that's
why
I said, how long?
We'll meet them today.
Well, how long?
We're in an age of weapons of mass destruction. Nobody cares about soldiers. Like,
but I'm saying,
remember,
like, there might be a country.
Robots.
There might be a time, and that's what my question is. Because there might come a time where growing a human is cheaper than building a drone. So if you got the time, just grow a bunch of humans.
Grow like a million of them and just launch them on the coast. Yeah. Just a million human clones. And they just. They don't care if they die. They just don't waste them. They just waste them all and just keep them coming.
What's the thing?
This is what's
like,
going to happen.
It's Orokai.
If there are human clones, then, like, will they have
feelings and those other...
Yes, they're clones.
Yeah. Because you... Yes. Really, just I mean, twin. Feelings are also not magic. They're like chemicals. They're just balances. I mean...
Do you think they'll have souls?
I don't know. I don't know where a soul exists.
It's in the spleen.
But I think they'll have feelings and they'll have personalities.
Yeah, like, I imagine the ethical question comes into, like, does that prove that there isn't a soul? Like, what if there's a clone and it's just like us, just totally regular?
It's so cool. It'll crash on your couch and be completely civil.
Yeah. They just have, like, no pulse. Is that your soul?
I feel like all these questions have been broached in Battlestar Galactica already, so I'd just like to refer our listeners to that.
Makula, you look like you have had something to say for some time.
Or, here's a question for this clone thing.
Out of the question.
No, just saying, like, do they exist for, like, 20, 30 years? And if so, do they get killed off through, like, a Fox Die kind of system, you know, from Metal Gear Solid?
Oh, right, yeah. That's exactly how it is.
No, that's another question. Like let's say you launch these people off, but you're like...
I don't know the reference.
No, but, like, it's a thing you inject, like, into their genetic makeup that... At like age 27, they'll just die. You know, like that's another. So, like, if you're only using them for like war, you put them so they can only exist for like 5 years.
But like, what if they were about to do something awesome and then they
fox die?
Fox die, dude.
Fox die, dude.
But they're humans, not foxes.
Fox die.
You know, you need rename that. You need clone armies, but you need to clone Jack so that you get like
children,
full grown soldiers in like 8 years.
That's true.
Ah,
yeah. See, I would clone Tiger Woods.
Oh, why is that OP?
Because he's a party animal.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
A tiger. And, he's a big party animal. Because I want to know how to play golf better.
Really? Must be time for
Tiger Woods' golf tips.
By club.
Meow. Make a trail of tiny beer bottles from your opponent's car to the golf course. By the time they get to play time, they're going to be drunk. Your aim? Be much better than theirs.
That has been Cloud's Golf Tips.
Oh, your makes opponent's sense. Like an Alcoholic Anonymous.
Yeah. Well, I guess they don't have to pick up the bottle.
Oh, but it's right in front of them.
What? They're going to be intrigued.
Dude, they're out golfing. They're drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Free beer.
They still can have self-control, but, you know, whatever.
Dude, yeah. There was pizza right next to the hole.
Street pizza?
Street pizza.
Green pizza.
Well, folks, it looks like we are running out of time here, but real quickly, even before we get to the last part, I want to, remind people that our final show of this current Comedy Sports run is this Sunday, the 26th of February at 7 p.m. That's, again, at the Comedy Sports Theater, 929 West Belmont in sunny Chicago, Illinois.
Yes.
So be sure to check it out. I anticipate a big show, and we've gone over the script. I anticipate a very, very fun show.
Yes, it'll be the Oscarvarius Awards, first annual Oscarvarius.
It's going to be kind of a retrospective of all of the shows that we've put together over the past 35, 36 weeks.
Man, what a year, Tins.
It's been a great year, Castelvi. Are you excited?
I'm so excited.
It's like a clip show, right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's a clip show.
Not unlike a
classic ending episode.
I mean, there's humor in between.
Remember what we did? It was great.
It was good that we did that.
But it is going to be a lot of fun, so be sure to check that out. We would love to see a packed house for this coming show.
So excited, Laura Shaw.
So with that, we are just about out of time. But before we go, we have just enough time for Nick Makula's
Seven Words of Wisdom.
Father to a murdered son. Keys. Beer.
That has been Nick Makula's Seven Words of Wisdom. I sort of see what you did there.
He was confused.
He was.
Keys.
Beer.
When he's confused and I assume drunk, he just quotes his
own
gladiator
costume.
I assume his homemade gladiator.
He's an AJ's in a homemade gladiator costume out of saran wrap and tinfoil and a hanger. Trying to find keys.
Awesome.
These are my horses, Sparto and the other one.
They were my horses.
All right, everybody. We are just about out of time. So until next podcast, have 8 days in a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye. Don't run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.